To be able to know and say and sing "All Is Well" is truly a gift. It's a gift that God gives. It's not something we can say on our own in this world. The greatest gifts of all are the gifts that God gives to us, and all of those gifts are wrapped up in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we're going to discover and consider God's gift, His good news of great joy for everyone this Christmas. You may know that 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says to the believer in Jesus, always be joyful. And if we've had a tough week or maybe a tough year, we hear a voice like that and it bothers us. Always be joyful. You got to be kidding. I'm not sure I can always be joyful. We sing joy to the world at Christmas, to the world, and that means everyone, everywhere. Is that really possible? We know that those of us who know the Lord will have everlasting joy in the Lord's presence in heaven for all eternity. But in this world, that's the question. And there are a couple things that keep us from feeling like joy is a possibility in this world, things that we all face on a daily basis, maybe even this morning. What keeps us from being joyful? First of all, there's the bad that shouldn't happen. If we're honest with ourselves, we have to admit that some of the bad things that happen in our lives, we bring them on ourselves, don't we? We sometimes do things or don't do things that bring some bad upon us. But there are bad things that happen to us and in the world that, from our perspective, just shouldn't happen. We didn't bring it on ourselves. No one deserved it, humanly speaking. That person was innocent. Because of that, we wonder, can joy really happen in this world? What keeps us from always being joyful? Not only the bad that shouldn't happen, but also the good that doesn't happen. The good that we want to happen sometimes doesn't. The dream that we want to come true sometimes doesn't come true. The heart that we hope to see changed in someone else doesn't change. The prayer that we've prayed doesn't get answered, at least not the way that we've prayed that it would be answered. But if joy is going to happen, it has to happen in an imperfect, fallen world, and that's what this Christmas is all about. God came to this lost world, and in Jesus Christ, He told us that joy can happen even here, even in a smelly, dirty stable in a little village at Bethlehem, even in this kind of a fallen world today, and even in your world today. Joy can happen. Now, because of the kind of world we live in, you can choose to be a discouraged person because there's a lot to be discouraged about. You can choose to be angry because there's a lot to be angry about. You can choose to be cynical because there's a lot to be cynical about in this world. And you can choose to be a bitter person because there's a lot to be bitter about. But because of Christmas, because Jesus came, you can choose to be a joyful person because there is joy in knowing Jesus Christ. Joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's something that only God can give. And then joy is internal. Joy is based on Christ. Joy is based on choice. It's a choice to rejoice. Joy just doesn't happen in our lives. It's something that must be chosen in our lives. The question is how? How do I choose joy? If joy is going to work, it has to work in a real world for real people with real problems. How do you choose joy? How do you make the choice to rejoice in your world today? If your life was a map and the big "you are here" arrow points to where you are right now, maybe it is a painful or difficult season for you. Maybe it's dark and not a very bright season of the year for you. And that's where you are right now. And there's a dot over there that says joy. The question is, how do I get from here to there? Dr. David Myers, in his research for the book Pursuit of Happiness, discovered that over the past 20 years or so, there have been over 80,000 research projects done on depression in the United States, while in the same period, there have been only 400 research projects done on joy. And it's so easy for us in the world we live to focus on the negative. But when you begin to focus on the positive, on the joy that God can bring, you begin to see how you can move from where you are to where you want to be, to find the joy that only God can give you. And we're going to discover how to get from here to there by considering that familiar experience and example of the shepherds on the first Christmas. They were out in their fields near Bethlehem, you know the story, tending their sheep, and God brought them the gift of joy. The shepherds made some choices, the same kinds of choices that you and I can make today, the Sunday before Christmas, that will result in us experiencing God's special gift of joy for you. The question is, do you want to have joy? Do you want it? What only God can give, then you're going to make the same choices the shepherds did. First of all, like the shepherds, choose to receive the good news. Have you ever been down and out and you get a call or a text or an instant message of some good news and all of a sudden your spirits are lifted and you've just experienced the power of good news, the good news has to bring joy into our lives? And that's the same kind of thing that happened to these shepherds on that first Christmas. Look with me at Luke's record in Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8, and your message notes are on the screen if you'd like to follow along. That night, some shepherds were in the fields outside the village, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terribly frightened, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news of great joy for everyone. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born tonight in Bethlehem, the city of David." The shepherds are just out watching their flock of sheep, an ordinary, very boring job. Sheep aren't that exciting to look at when they're awake, let alone when they're asleep. Not very exciting. My dad and granddad raised sheep, so I know what sheep are like. This is not what you would call an atmosphere of anticipation and what they were doing. But all of a sudden, in the routine of ordinary life, God brings them a message of joy, just like he wants to bring you a message of joy this morning. You may think that this is just an ordinary day, here of all places at the Wellington, before an ordinary Christmas, but God wants to bring you and me good news of great joy. God came through the angel, and he spoke through the angel, and he said, "I bring you good news of great joy for everyone." What's the good news? That Jesus came. The good news is that Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the Lord, has been born, and he can make an eternal difference in your life today. The good news is that Jesus Christ came to this earth to tell us and show us what God is like and to prove how much God loves us by going to the cross to die for our sins. The good news is that God offers forgiveness for all the wrong things we've done, and he offers purpose and power for our lives. He offers us to give us the gift of heaven, eternal life, to all who will turn from their sins and trust in him. In Romans 1:16, Paul tells us how good this good news really is when he says, "I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is God's powerful method of bringing all who believe it to heaven. Now everyone is invited to come to God in the same way." If you're taking notes, circle the word invited. The good news is that God has invited everyone, and he's invited you to have a relationship with him. He's invited you to discover what life without limits is really like. And that's what Christmas is all about. And like the shepherds, we can choose joy when we choose to receive the good news. And when we choose to receive the good news, we can have joy on the journey of life, even in the midst of problems and pressures and pain. And that's what James talked about. You may remember how James in chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 said, "Dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." Now, my first reaction is not one of joy when trouble comes our way, in my way, but joy can come because God can work through the challenges of life as we put our faith in him, and he helps us grow, to help us change, to help us become more and more like Jesus Christ. And that's the good news. Someone said you can tell a lot about people by the way they handle three things: rainy days, lost luggage, and tangled Christmas tree lights. Is it possible to have joy in the midst of rainy days, lost luggage, and tangled Christmas tree lights? Joy is not having perfect circumstances, otherwise none of us would have joy. Joy is not smile and the whole world will smile with you. Joy is not every cloud has a silver lining, because some clouds don't have a silver lining. Some clouds only bring storms. Joy comes by, first of all, receiving God's truth and God's power in our imperfect circumstances in this fallen world. You parents or grandparents, you've heard me talk about before, I think, this game that's often played. Ever taken your kids or grandkids to Chuck E. Cheese and played that whack-a-gator game? And that's quite a cross-cultural missions experience, isn't it? I mean, Chuck E. Cheese is kind of a Vegas for toddlers, I think. That's what it really is. But what happens is this alligator pops up its head out of the hole, and you hit it with a mallet, and it goes back down, and then another gator's head pops up, and you knock that one down, and as you do so, another gator head pops up. And when the gator of a problem comes at you, you whack it with the truth that God loves you no matter what. When another gator of a problem comes at you, you whack it with the truth that God's growing you through this problem and that God is good and that God is in control. And even though the gator of a problem may still be there, at least the bite goes out of it, even as the gators start coming faster and faster. You keep whacking them away, even though they come one after the other. Often they do. Keep whacking those problems with the truth that God is working even in the midst of the problems, because you know every miracle begins with a problem. And the greatest problem of all, our sin and separation from God, was solved in the miracle of Jesus dying on the cross and his resurrection. And because of that greater miracle, we can experience miracles today. In the Peanuts cartoon, Lucy says, "Charlie Brown, you're the only person I know who can turn Christmas into a problem." And I think, why not let Jesus turn your problems into a little bit of Christmas? You may be saying today, "You don't understand. I've lost so much. And where's the joy in that?" Maybe there's an empty seat at your table or around the Christmas tree this year. For some of us, that's true. And there can be even joy in that. Even in that, if you know Christ. Hebrews 10:34 is addressed to the suffering, persecuted Christian. It says this: "You," speaking of the believer, the persecuted believer, the suffering believer in this context, "you even had joy when all that you owned was taken from you, because you knew that you had something better and more lasting." Because of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, because of the hope he gives us for eternity, it's really true. We can lose everything in this world and still have joy. And that's something only God can do. And that's good news. The shepherds show us that joy comes when we choose to receive the good news. Their experience also shows us, secondly, that joy comes to us when we choose to respond to the good news. It's not enough to hear the good news and receive it at one level. We've got to respond to the good news. And we see that in verses 15 and 16. "When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, 'Come on, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this wonderful thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' They ran to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger." Why did they go? Because they received and believed what God said. And because they received and believed what God said, they responded, they obeyed to what the angel said to do, and they went to Bethlehem. They could have spent the rest of their lives wondering and wandering. They could have said, "We really don't know if this is true. This could have just been some false vision, and so we're not going to respond." And they could have stayed in the fields outside of Bethlehem and always wondered what would have happened that night if we had gone to see what the angels had told us, but instead they received the good news and they responded to the good news. Figuratively speaking, it's easy for us to get stuck in those fields outside of Bethlehem, especially as we get older. And it's easy to wonder what might have been and to wander from God. We hear God say, "Trust me with your life, trust me with this decision, trust me with this relationship." But instead, we just stay there, wondering and wandering. The good news is you don't have to wonder and you don't have to wander any longer. And today may be your day to trust him. Today may be your day to ask him to help you with a decision. You're at a change point in life this Christmas season, and it's your time and God's time to change and have a decision to be made. Your day to ask him to give you strength in that relationship that may be not easy right now. Joy comes to us when we hear the good news and heed the good news. When we hear it, and then do it. Look at Psalm 19, verse 18. You see it there? 19, verse 8. It's on the screen. And if you would, let's read this aloud together. Say it with me. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight to life. Notice God's commandments bring joy. If I say 10 commandments, what's the next word that pops into our mind? It's probably not joy. We hear 10 commandments, we may think good or moral or restricted, but we think also hard and difficult. We probably don't think joy, but God gave us these commandments, these directions and instructions to give us joy. He made us. He's our creator. He knows how we're wired, and because of this, he says in his word, here's the owner's manual for your life. Here's the directions for life, not to mess up your life, but to make your life a miracle, not miserable, but to make you a miracle. And here are the directions of life to give you joy. If you follow his directions, he's saying, he's going to give you the most joyful life possible, even in the midst of the storm you may be in, and that's the kind of gift he wants to give you this Christmas. What do we do, and when we do what God says, the result is joy. Look at what the Bible tells us in Psalm 97:11. Light shines on the godly, and joy on those who do right. I love that verse. Light shines on the godly, and joy on those who do right. That's when joy comes. Someone recently asked me where I've pastored and how many years I've pastored, and later in the day, it was after a Sunday, and I began thinking about it because I haven't thought about it in a while. Over 30 years in about 10 churches or more when you add up the interim stints and the preaching points in different places over the years. And I thought that as a pastor, what is the number one question people have asked me over all those years? I get asked a lot of questions, and I'm sure you do, but pastors certainly do. The number one question I've been asked is this: why? Why is this happening to me? And you fill in the blank. Usually it's in a negative context. It's not when we're blessed. I get that question. It's why, Lord, Pastor, why is this happening to me? And while there are many theological layers to the answer to that question, I can tell you the one main answer to the question. Are you ready? Why is this happening to me? Here's the answer. It's to help you grow. Romans 8:29. From the very beginning, God decided that those who came to him, and all along he knew who would, should become like his son. There it is. For you as a believer, God's goal has always been to make you like his son. And he wants you to become like his son. He wants you to grow up, and he wants me to grow up to become more and more like Jesus spiritually. So in fact, everything in life can help you grow up spiritually, the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between, the things that you bring on yourself and the things that other people bring on you, which are often the most difficult, aren't they? When we feel like we're a victim of those words and ways of others that we did not deserve. We didn't ask for that. Lord, why is this happening to me? The Lord is not the author of evil, but God can bring good out of bad things for those who love him. Write down Romans 8:28, the verse before verse 29, which says that. He brings good out of those things to those who love him, who are called according to his purpose, even out of the bad things eventually, if not now, but in eternity. Every situation in life will either make you bitter or make you better. And it's our choice how we choose to respond. So instead of asking, and I understand we ask it anyway, it's not bad to ask it, but instead of laboring on the question, why is this happening to me? Say, Lord, what do you want me to learn from this and through this? What are you trying to teach me, Lord? Help me to see it and do it. Every problem has a purpose in this, to help you grow up and spiritually make you more and more like his son. So if God's purpose is to help me grow up spiritually and become more like Jesus, what is Jesus like? We see him in the Gospels. You can't miss him there. We look at the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible says in Galatians 5, he will produce this kind of fruit. Notice he will produce it in us. It's by the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is the fruit portrait of Jesus Christ, and that's what he's going to produce in and through you. And those are the qualities that God wants to develop in and through you and in and through me. And the question is, how does he do that? How does he produce these qualities and help us grow spiritually? He teaches us and grows us by putting us in situations that are the exact opposite of these qualities, doesn't he? So he teaches us love by putting us around very unlovable or unlovely people. He teaches us patience by putting us in a long line at TSA that seems like it's taking forever and we're going to miss the flight. He teaches us peace when we're surrounded by conflict, chaos, and confusion. He teaches us joy in the valley of grief and sorrow. The Lord will teach you these qualities all throughout your life and my life, and the process will take the rest of our lives until that day when Christ appears and we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 John 3, verse 2. So today, whatever we face today, we can trust that God will use it to help us grow spiritually and become more like Jesus. It all depends on how we respond. So choose to respond to the good news, to live the good news, by doing what God says. In John 16, 24, Jesus said, "Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." So do you need to ask him today to help you obey him? To do what he says, he will help you obey, and then your joy will be complete. It doesn't come before obedience, it comes after. Joy comes when we receive the good news, when we hear what God says. Joy comes when we respond to the good news, when we do what God says. And thankfully, the shepherds show us a third thing when it comes to choosing joy. Thirdly, like the shepherds, choose to repeat the good news. We've just been doing that. We've been singing that. When we sing joy to the world, we sing repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. When you tell someone else the good news about what God has done for you and what God is doing in your life, it brings joy. It always does. The shepherds repeat the good news. Look at verses 17 and 18. "Then the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. The shepherds went out and immediately told everyone the good news about this child, about this Jesus." You've heard me say that Dr. Leighton Ford is one of my heroes, and this is a recent picture of him. He just celebrated his 94th birthday, 94 years, and he's still serving the Lord. He's teaching and writing and sharing. This picture was from a couple of weeks ago. He was interviewed by the Charlotte Observer. He just wrote a book in honor of his late wife, Jeannie. It's a great testimonial of her life, and so they did a story on the book and his life and Jeannie Ford. He wrote a book earlier called Good News Is for Sharing, and it is. We're to share this good news for everyone. If it's good news, it's for sharing. Psalm 107, 22 says, "With joy they should tell what he has done." With joy, tell what God has done in your life, especially at Christmas, especially when people are all the more open to hear some good news. Aren't they? Tell someone in your family, at work, in school. Just say a good word, and joy comes when we choose to repeat the good news. It comes to us in joy. There's an indescribable joy that comes to us when we share the good news of what God has done. Because we care about others, we want to experience the same good news and the same joy we have. And haven't you found that the most joyful Christians are faithful witnesses? Aren't they? Those who are just more open about sharing their faith, and they don't have to share the whole gospel, the whole boatload when they talk with someone, but when they share a blessing with someone and share some aspect of the gospel and the good news about Jesus, they're so joyful. Why are they joyful? Because they're repeating the good news. Have you heard the news? There's a warning about another computer virus. You get all these technical warnings this time of year about scams and viruses for your computer and your online operating system. There's one called the Christmas virus. It's out. It says, The operating systems of a great many have already been exposed to this virus, and it's possible that people everywhere could be affected by this. Some signs that you may have been affected by the Christmas virus include a tendency to think and act spontaneously rather than based on past fears, a loss of interest in judging other people, a loss of the ability to worry. That's a very serious sign if that's happening to you. A new appreciation of the good news of Christmas, that God came to show his love for you at Christmas. A slow realization that God's direction is always for your best. An overwhelming need to tell someone else the good news. Please send this warning out to all your friends. The virus can and has affected many systems. Some systems have been completely cleaned out because of the Christmas virus. And just as there's a negative multiplying power, as viruses on computers and networks multiply and do untold damage and destruction, there's also a positive multiplying power of repeating the good news and bringing joy to others. Theologian Karl Barth offered this insight about joy. He said, "It must be said that we can have joy and therefore will have it only as we give it to others. There may be cases where a man can be merry in isolation, but they are exceptional and dangerous. Joy only comes when we give it away to others, when we choose to repeat the good news." Paul Chitwood is the president of the Southern Baptist International Mission Board. He often says this: "When the Great Commission is not the primary topic of conversation, all other topics start to divide us." When the good news, the gospel, is not the primary topic of conversation, all other topics start to divide us. And you fill in the blank. Sports, your favorite team and someone else's favorite team. Education, homeschool, public school, private school, online, in person, remote. Political parties, economic perspectives and philosophies. Various methods of ministry and missions and musical genres, medical matters, dietary menus, the more debatable nuances of theology and eschatology. You fill in the blank with the topic after topic. Now, you can talk about other things and study other things and be interested in other things, because I certainly do, but when the good news and repeating the good news is not the primary topic of conversation, all other topics start to divide us. And you know what? We take the devil's bait and fall into the devil's trap of distraction, and we lose so much energy and time and resources of not keeping the main thing of knowing Christ and making him known, sharing this good news of great joy for everyone. This morning, my devotions, I was reading in Revelation here at the end of the year, Revelation 12:11. It says when they speak of they overcame him, the church that John was writing about, overcame him, the devil, in the final end of history. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, that is, by the cross of Christ, and by the word of their testimony. When it says the word of their testimony, it's not talking about their personal testimony. It's talking about them, the testimony of the gospel. They're repeating the gospel. We overcome the enemy by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. He paid the penalty for all of our sins. And we point to the cross when we're accused by the enemy. And we say, "Jesus paid for that sin. You can't accuse me any longer. And I'm free and forgiven." And by the word of our testimony, we repeat the gospel, the good news, and that brings victory. If we keep silent, Satan wins. That's the only way he wins, when we keep silent. We often talk about each one, reach one here at Focus Church. And here's something we all can do. If you saw the weekly email this week, you saw me write about this and remind us that how this week, between now and Christmas or thereafter, how about at 1 o'clock, pray for 1 minute for one person who needs to receive the good news this Christmas. One person, just one to pray for 1 minute. Someone says, "Can I pray at 2 o'clock for 2 minutes for two people?" There's always an overachiever in the group. You can do that if you'd like. That's okay to do. But maybe just 1 minute for one person. And then I can tell you, you won't stop with that if you start doing that. Who are you praying for? And who are you inviting to come hear the good news? And if you're in town this Christmas Eve, who are you wanting to bring with you to hear the good news? Let's keep praying for others, that others will experience Christmas with God's gift of joy. Joy comes to us as we repeat the good news. And not only that, there's joy in heaven when others receive and respond to the good news. Look at what Jesus says in John 15. I tell you, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who changes his heart and life than over 99 good people who don't need to change. What's he saying? When you receive the good news and respond to the good news, the Bible says that all of heaven rejoices. And when you repeat the good news, you experience the joy of telling someone else that everything can change for the better forever. But as theologian Carl F.H. Henry said, the gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. The gospel is good news for you today because it's getting to you in time. And when you repeat the good news, you're getting it to others in time. Over the years, we've often celebrated Christmas with Diane's family in Southern California, not too far from Newport Beach. We would do that for many years, where you see all the sail. If you've been to Newport Beach at Christmas time, all the sailboats and yachts decked out in Christmas lights, and Santa arrives by yacht. It just doesn't seem right, does it? I mean, it doesn't seem American to have Santa come by yacht, but that's what he does. And this is the 117th year in a row they do this. All the parade of sailboats and yachts with lights, and Santa comes. And you see all these sailboats in the Newport Harbor, and while the wind may be blowing strongly in one direction, the sailboats may be moving in the opposite direction, depending on the wind. Why? It's all in the way they set their sails. You may be going through difficult days, difficult waters, rough waters right now, and yet, by God's grace, you're filled with joy. Why? Because you've chosen to set your sails. You've chosen to have joy even in troubled times. You've chosen how, in spite of the circumstances, to repeat the good news. Look at this wonderful promise from Psalm 126, verse 5. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. Let's read that verse aloud together. Say it with me. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. For some of us, the holiday season is a sad season. And some of us are thinking, joy, I don't even want to think about this. Does this mean I have to pretend everything is okay? Does this mean I have to pretend that I don't have a hurt, that I don't have a loss? Not at all. Christmas turns up the volume on everything and intensity on everything. If things are going well, it makes the season feel even brighter. But if things are not going so well, if all is not well, as we just heard sung, it makes things feel even darker, especially if you've had a loss this year. How do you have joy in the midst of sorrow? Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. And only the Christian, and the Christian only, can stand at the graveside of a loved one with tears of sorrow streaming down their face, and at the same time have the joy of the Lord, which is their strength. That's supernatural. That's not natural. And as we get older, haven't you found that our sorrows get worse and get better at the same time? They get worse, they get harder, and yet they get better. Deep sorrow and deep joy. Give God your hurt and he'll bring his healing. Let him work that process of healing through your life during the season of the year. Christmas is a time that most of us enjoy. Studies say that for 75% of us, it's our favorite time of year. And yet it's just a season. How can I have the kind of joy that lasts for more than just a day, more than just a Sunday, or more than just a season? Look at Philippians 4, verse 4. Be full of joy in the Lord always. I will say it again, be full of joy. That's how it happens. We can be full of joy in the Lord. That's where joy comes from. Joy isn't based on our circumstances. Joy is based on Christ. It's based on choice. And it's when we find and follow him, and then when we help others find Jesus and follow him, that we find the joy that lasts beyond the Christmas season. Joy isn't found in a season, it's found in the Savior. And then we know that joy isn't the absence of problems, but the presence of God. If you've been following our study of Philippians in recent weeks, you remember how joy is spelled this way: Jesus, others, and you. It's what it is. Joy comes to us when Jesus is first, when others are next, and we bring up the rear in serving others. God's gift for you this Christmas is His good news of great joy for everyone, and that includes you. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. Let's do that together. Would you bow with me for prayer right now? And let's pray. With our heads bowed together, in what ways are you different this Christmas? And no matter what last Christmas was like for you, no matter what you may be experiencing this Christmas, this is your opportunity to make a choice, to do what the shepherds did, and to choose to receive the good news. Choose to respond to the good news, and then choose to repeat the good news, and then you'll have everlasting joy in knowing Jesus. If you want to make that choice, you could pray along with me silently as I pray. Lord Jesus, I've heard the good news about your love for me, how you came at Bethlehem, how you lived a perfect life and died on the cross and rose again for me to take my place and pay the penalty for the wrong I've done. Lord Jesus, I choose to respond to the good news by trusting you, by obeying you, by following you. I choose to submit to your lordship. And Lord, because of who you are and what you've done for me, I choose to repeat the good news. I believe that good news is for sharing and that you will help me share with others the joy I've found in knowing you. Thank you, Lord, that joy is not the absence of problems, but the presence of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you for your gift of joy. Amen.